Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 520. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me once again, kind of, almost, sort of, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello. And we are here because we are, it's defiant, folks. It's a fascination. It's a thing. IDW Publishing, I almost said Transformers, wow. IDW Publishing Star Trek Defiant number one. So, when we last left off with the main 2022 series that they are doing at IDW 2022 Into the Future 2023 with Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing, Worf is like, see ya, Sisko, I'm out. I gotta go do my own thing. I gotta go, you know, you're too much, you and your unholy alliances or whatever the hell. So we have Star Trek Defiant, and it's Worf, and holy crap. Folks, I apparently don't pay attention to stuff anymore. I don't know why. I just did not catch it. I did not even see a certain character on the front cover of this comic book. So as I'm reading this, I'm like, what the is Spock doing there?
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised, like, you didn't notice.
No, well, I'm sure when I sent you the art, I probably kinda sorta noticed. Now, the guy next, is that Data too, or is that, that's not,
no,
Data,
that's his, no, brother.
Oh, that's Spock's brother. Okay.
No, that's Data's brother, Lore.
Oh. Data Lore. Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I was gonna say he kinda looks like a Data. A little bit. At least in that cover he does.
Yep, and then that's Rolaren on the other side.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Worf is setting up his own crew. Now this series, I don't know if this is going to be a new ongoing, if it's going to be like a... I do know that because they have split from, like, Worf is split from Star Trek, and this is something we can talk about probably close to the end, but we will have a crossover between these two books. I think Free Comic Book Day this year launched Star Trek, was it? Is it Dying World, Dying Wish, Wake the Dead? It's called something. I Googled it earlier. But there will be a crossover between this book and the main ongoing. This series is written by Christopher Cantwell with the art done by Angel Unzueta. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Colorist is Marissa Luiz, and the letterer is Clayton Cowles on this one. And, yeah, basically, Worf is going after Clone Kalus.
Yep.
Yep. I do love how it's the most trivial thing ever, but it keeps coming up, at least in this issue so far. I don't know, because I haven't read ahead after this, but in the beginning of this, Worf can't, like, this ship that he's taken or whatever, like, the computer doesn't want to acknowledge him as the commander of the ship, as the captain. He just smashes the computer.
Well, it's not doing what he asked it.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have Spock here, and Spock, and this is interesting to me. I like this. I like seeing the TOS characters interacting with the TNG characters.
Well, oddly enough, those are some of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Is when there is a crossover.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Worf and Spock, you'd never think to make that connection, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works, it works. And of course we hear, at least in my own head, I hear the late, great Leonard Nimoy and obviously Michael Dorn as Worf. And yeah, it's so good. The art in this is really cool.
Yeah, this is one thing I've really enjoyed with IDW, mm-hmm. is their attention to detail, and then the faces look eerily similar.
Yep. That's why I thought Data's brother was Data. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, all you can tell is there's a sly grin.
Yeah.
That Lore has, as opposed mm-hmm. to Data, who has no emotion.
Yep. So Worf has, he's basically doing this long-ass captain's log and basically saying, oh, by the way, I'm stealing this ship. I'm making this record so people know that this is what is happening. This is what's going on. Oh, yeah, by the way, my son is also with the villain and I have to go save my son and I feel guilty about all of that and everything else. I do love that they try to blow him up. And or it's not that they don't try to blow him up, but it's part of the plan to steal the ship, to this whole super secret Star Trek spy mission thing with the data chip and everything else. And he's like, energized now. The escape pod blows up and he escapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then there's another explosion. And I love these two guys. Jaltalk 4, strange weather patterns, Starfleet spies falling from the sky. Love that. That's hilarious. What are you thinking so far?
I just like how the series more or less is turning out.
Yeah. I mean, this is only the first issue of this, but yeah.
I like that Worf and Spock meet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never met in Reunification Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Spock is among Romulans.
Yep. Which is... The Vulcan, what is it, the Vulcan Science Academy or High Council or whatever the hell the Vulcans say. Like, that's probably not a great thing, Sir Spock, but...
But it's funny that Spock's codes were not revoked.
Mm-hmm. I love how they explain it away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Starfleet, they just probably forgot.
Yeah, he's like, I do not believe Starfleet ever revoked my command codes, perhaps as a token of respect, but more likely out of neglectful oversight.
Oversight, yeah.
So the question is whether you can find a ship.
Yes.
Yeah, and so he chose the Defiant because...
Worf is Defiant.
Well, he's captained the ship before.
Mm. Oh, that's true. Yeah, he did.
In Deep Space Nine, mm-hmm. and it has a cloak. Although, technically, it doesn't. That's a little bit of an oversight. The original Defiant was destroyed.
Right.
With the cloaking device in the Dominion War. The second ship was the USS San Paolo, and that was rechristened as the USS Defiant. Exactly the same model. Technically, it should have been the USS Defiant A, but they didn't do that because of budget constraints. They wouldn't, basically, the Paramount wouldn't let them spend the money to redo the decal to put the A on there. And so they literally just kept shooting it the way it was. But they wanted to turn it into the A, like kind of like how the original USS Enterprise... Mm-hmm. Was destroyed and then replaced with the Enterprise A, but it was the exact same model of ship.
Yeah.
And so the new Defiant had no cloaking device because it was destroyed in the original.
This panel here where it's right as they're as they're talking, where Worf is like, "My choice was easy," and we see the image of the Defiant. These two planets or two moons or whatever the hell they are that they're flying by, I'm like, holy crap, it's red matter. It's not red matter. But seriously, look at how those are drawn. Look how the shading is on those. And the color of the... I'm like, holy crap, there's red matter in space. Yikes, that's not good. Don't let them touch each other or else they'll explode. And we have a sort of Elkar's sort of a mission report from Commander Sela.
It's a Tal Shiar Romulan Empire version.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because Sela is actually the half human, half Romulan daughter of Tasha Yar.
Oh, yeah, Tasha. Okay.
And she was created by a temporal mistake, basically, in yesterday's Enterprise, where the Enterprise C went through a temporal vortex and ended up in the 24th century, like later when the Enterprise D was out.
Right.
It created a time issue where Worf was never brought to the Federation. And so Tasha Yar was still alive. And she went back in time with the Enterprise C. And so therefore, it was a kind of a paradox that she was actually dead in the prime timeline, but somehow she was alive again because of the the temporal screw up.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I love the whole transmission here between her and the other guy on Sisko's ship. I forget what his name is off the top of my head.
You're talking about B'Elanna Torres and Tom Paris.
Yeah, oh, it's okay, Tom. Okay, Tom Paris. Yeah, I love the ending of this. Lieutenant Paris informed Captain Sisko that if he wants my data, he'll first need to remove his head from the clouds. End transmission. She turns to him. Worf, just use a human aphorism. I have grown quite fond of cutting through the bullshit. And obviously, in the comic, folks, shit is. Number signed and dollar signed and percent signed out, but that's hilarious. I hope we get a Sisko Worf, like some sort of other face off from them in the future, because oh boy, the personalities between the two of them.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how this is going to go down.
Yeah, I've never been more interested in Star Trek than I have reading this book and the other one, the main title as well. This is cool.
What I like about IDW is, yes, they have some that kind of play in the vague or play in the what if Elseworlds type scenarios. Yeah. What I like about them, however, is that they aren't afraid to play in the continuity.
Yeah.
And this and the other title where they brought Sisko back both play in the current in the actual continuity.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's used as far as like the continuity of like Picard or Lower Decks, or Prodigy or any of the shows that are after Nemesis or after Deep Space Nine. Yeah. I don't know. But this plays after like a couple of years after Deep Space Nine. And so in that regard, it still kind of plays in the continuity.
Yeah. And I think that's cool. And I think that's interesting. And I think that's good. I have yet to go back and rewatch Deep Space Nine. We will be doing that in the future. But it's one of those things where if everyone has seen Deep Space Nine at least once in their lifetime, you can read this and like I've said, the whole point, you're the diehard, I'm the one on the outskirts of the universe here, kind of just like dipping my toes in and just waiting to see what happens. But I still know certain things. I still remember certain, you know, like I said, character, like obviously, who can forget Worf? If people forget Worf, you must have amnesia, because, man, he's a character. Same thing with Sisko. same thing with what was his name? Not Quark.
Odo.
No, the other white guy that's on the Irish white guy.
O'Brien?
Yes, O'Brien. I remember Deep Space Nine was 1999. When did Deep Space Nine come out?
It came out in 1993.
Really?
Yes.
Deep Space Nine was 90. Wow. Okay.
And Voyager came out in 95.
What?
That doesn't. Enterprise came out in
2001. 2001. Yeah. Okay.
I know my Star Trek.
I know you know. I'm not doubting you.
Yes.
I'm not trying to sit here clicking through IMDb to double check. I trust that you're right, but it just doesn't seem like it was that soon because TNG ran 87 to 96?
Or 95? TNG ran from 87 to 93.
Oh, right. Okay. Now it makes sense. Yeah. So anyway, my point is, if I remember right, the guy who plays O'Brien is this like really surly. I've seen him in other, I think it's
Colm Meaney.
Yep. And the only reason why, I love that actor. I love that actor. I love that character. And the reason why I love that actor
is he's been in Star Trek since 1987.
Yeah.
He went from Encounter at Farpoint, the very first episode of TNG, and then he kind of eventually faded into obscurity and became the Transporter Chief.
Yeah.
And then he was spun off later into Deep Space Nine.
DS9, yeah, which is where I first kind of learned of that character. But him as an actor, oh, man. He was in... he was the... Not evil, but he was the... adversarial FBI agent against John Cusack in Con Air. He was the other FBI agent.
So, what do we do now? What's the plan? You do have a plan, don't you?
We're working on it. Contingency plans for something like this don't exist. The situation's never been contemplated.
Well, you better start contemplating, because this is a situation that needs to get unfucked right now!
That wanted basically John Cusack's character to basically fail. And he was the one with the car that had the nice silver car that they ended up destroying. That's why I remember him, is because he has that voice and that bravado of whatever as an actor. I absolutely love that guy. So, yeah, I mean, I remember and I know certain things, but reading this series and reading the other series, it's like, oh, hey. This can kind of be my start. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is something that I've gotten into because I enjoy it. Because not only do I know some of the characters I like, I'm actually enjoying learning about some of these new ones. Or new ones to me, I should say.
Newer ones to you, yes.
Yes, yes. So, prison. Yay.
Yeah, Worf brinking. He's like, wake up, Lieutenant. Redemption calls.
Yep.
Because Ensign Ro, because she was Ensign, which is funny that she's a lieutenant here. although I think she may have gotten promoted during TNG, because she came in during season 6 and then stayed through season 7 until she traitored on Picard and Starfleet and joined the Maquis.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Which is that sect of, you know, fighters, which is what, you know, Tom Paris joined it for a short time and half the Voyager crew was a part of them. Sisko was the only one that managed to put a lot of them down.
Well, he poisoned
the planets.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, guess what? You can't live there now.
Nope.
And they were like, what are you doing? Yeah. For the uniform. Yeah, that episode was great. But yeah, so Worf is breaking her out here.
And again, I love the dialogue between the two of them. You're going to a lot of trouble to make Ro look good with the Orions when truth is she was never a Mequis, true believer. She was a Starfleet spy, a hypocrite. That is not what her lengthy criminal record states. I love that. And we have a captain's incoming message for Captain's Eyes Only. And Denok? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And those apostrophes always get me, folks. So, yeah, we've got this going on.
Yeah.
Again, it's all set up for whatever is going to happen later, but this is, again, it's building Worf as a character here in this story and figuring out what's going on with him. And then we get, what do you think of the, just as a design thing, the L-cars or the mission briefing thing, like these, like us as readers actually seeing these data points and, you know, having all this.
The level one communique?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the L-cars interface. I really do. So much so that I've used it in art and I've used it in, like, the USS Future Imperfect website when I had that going. I really like the design and the computer interface of it enough that I've thought about, oh, what if I did that to my phone or, you know, my computer or, you know, things like that. So back in the day, I think I even had it on Windows 95 or 98, like a theme that was the L-curse. And I was like, oh, this is great. I love these little interfaces that they kind of give you a, you know, peek behind the curtain. I think that it's funny. I think it wasn't the NX-74205 anymore.
Okay.
And I, part of me wants to test that theory.
Okay.
Because I think that, we're dealing with a different version of the ship here. And I think that they may have cataloged it differently because the NX-74205 was destroyed.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they could be creating their own continuity and not really
they just don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I've never
heard. It's very possible.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sometimes the comics miss the mark. Because the USS San Paolo was assigned to Deep Space Nine to replace the Defiant after its destruction, and they renamed it to the Defiant in honor of the original ship. And so it's technically they're technically right and technically wrong.
Okay.
It was being that they gave it the same name. They gave it the same registry number, the NX, which is supposed to be the experimental.
Okay.
Technically it's right. I wasn't sure if they gave it the NCC or if they kept it with the NX. And if that's true, this still wouldn't have, although it does say here, the Defiant, formerly the USS San Paolo, had been in dry dock. But if they use a cloaking device, then it's not real.
Okay.
Because they didn't have a cloaking device on the second ship. It was only on the first.
Right. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So anyways, it's according to like Star Trek Picard, it's preserved in the Fleet Museum.
So I'm looking up, be careful when you Google things, folks, especially if you don't specify. So, going to explain this here, but I wanted to see, since we're talking about this and since we're talking about these details about whether they are going off of the actual timeline or creating a story that fits in the timeline or if they're just doing their own stuff, I wanted to look up the writer, Christopher Cantwell. Well, if you just type in Christopher Cantwell into Google, hit enter, and hit the first Wikipedia article, Christopher Cantwell, the Nazi. Okay, back. Christopher Cantwell, comics, comes up. Wikipedia, TV, and comics writer, because I wanted to see what else he's done. In television, he was the writer-director of Krantz from 2009. No idea what that is. Halt and Catch Fire, which was a TV series from 2014 to 2017. He was co-creator, co-producer, and showrunner, also writer and director. He did the Paper Girls television series based on the comic, I believe. For comics, he has written The Mask, I Pledge Allegiance to the Mask. I have no idea what that is. Is that what I think? Yep, it's what I think it is. Doug Mankeen, John, okay. Dark Horse, all right. Doctor Doom, he did the 2020 Iron Man series. He's done Star Wars Obi-Wan in last year. So he's not just a brand new, I mean, he's been doing this for a while. So again, just want to make sure we're doing our, you know, full on due diligence of not just assuming that the writer doesn't know what they're doing. Cause I, you know, would like to think that they do. And again, who knows what kind of continuity this is going to fit into, but yeah, those L cars, man. So sometimes that takes me out of the story. Cause I'm so used to comics being art and speech bubbles or art and like the background where it's like internal monologue bubbles where it's not bubbles. It's the, and then you have like a whole page of text and I'm like, wait, this is a comic book. But it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. It works. It's just a little getting used to. So you have Worf and Spock and they don't really get into an argument, but they kind of get into an argument because Worf mentions Sisko and the Theseus can hold Starfleet at bay, even if he has no idea what I'm up to. And Spock's like, we could brief him. No. No, don't do that.
Worf is like, I will do what I please.
Mm-hmm. And now I know Spock and Worf are friendly here, but as they walk away in the hallway, Worf has this, you know, has this thing where he's doing another internal monologue and it's the two of them walking in the hallway, no matter the cost. I'm like, is Spock gonna shoot Optimus Prime in the back?
Technically, yeah, I didn't Worf get would, that well, I didn't get that vibe.
Yeah, I know. Obviously not, because Spock would never. But I'm saying just the line of no matter the cost. Good old Transformers. Gotta love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, this took a left turn I was not expecting. Severed heads.
It's lore. Alrighty then.
Yeah, it's lore, all right.
Well, it's where they, it's kind of how they left him, although he was deactivated at the end of The Descent Part 2 by Data.
Interesting.
Never to see the light of day again. And
until now.
Yeah, he does come back in Picard, but in a sense. But yeah, he's back here and is questioning why Worf is in command.
Well, one does not know. As a first issue, I really like this because we're seeing how Worf sets off from, you know, being separated from Sisko from the other series. We are now getting basically him getting his crew together between Spock and all the others. So I like that. I like that because this is a number one, it is setting it up. At the same time, I wish we had just a little bit, like, I wish this comic was like two more pages. Like, I think this is a perfect you could still have this cliffhanger. I just wish there was something more, whether it was with Worf doing another captain's log and or something. But other than that, though, I really enjoyed this. This was fun.
Yeah, and it definitely left me waiting for the next.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it. Never thought I'd ever say it, folks. I'm really into the Star Trek stuff now, at least with this. At least with. It's not that I'm not into it. It's just that it's not my main go-to kind of thing. But apparently with this comic series, it is. So, I think. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything else you wanted to discuss?
I don't think so. Yeah. Just that it's been an interesting run.
Mm-hmm. And this run is just starting. We're already, at least by the time we're recording, we're five issues into the other series. We're one issue into this, and I'm not disappointed. I'm liking a lot of this. Like, there's not a lot so far that is like, we can nitpick every day, and usually we do, but for the most part, you know. This is very, very enjoyable. So I think we're going to go to a quick ad break. You'll probably hear one or two other ads, either from us or from other people that I help promote. We'll come back with ratings and close the show right after this.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Markham 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Markham 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
We are back here inside the pull bag with Star Trek Defiant number one. As a number one goes, I'm all in. However long or short this, like, I never know sometimes with series or miniseries or ongoings or not ongoings, or because sometimes if the numbers aren't there, if the sales aren't there, they'll cut it. I don't think they're going to cut this short, but at the same time, who knows? But as a number one, Defiant, Star Trek Defiant number one, I'll probably give it a 4.5 out of 5.
I'll give it the same because I was rather entertained through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I get that the ship is supposed to not look super sleek. That's probably the only reason why my half point comes off, is because I wish the new Defiant was a little bit more sleek looking other than what it is, but it is what it is because it's an old ass ship and, or it's a new, I don't know, whatever it is, but yeah, no, very, very enjoyable. This is the first week of May, folks. Well, actually, we're recording this in the future, but you're going to be hearing it in the past. So Free Comic Book Day is about to happen, but it actually already did happen. I did not participate this year. I'm still living in the one horse town that I moved to, and there is a comic shop here, but I just don't. I don't leave my house. I just don't leave the house anymore. So what have you got going on, sir?
Just keeping busy with stuff for the network and preparing for some new endeavors. As vague as I can be on that.
Yes, yes. As defiant as he can be on that.
Transport and warp out.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. De-energize. What a bunny. Coming up here inside the pullbag next week or this week or whenever you people get it, people will just be like, oh, the pullbag shows up a new episode. Wait, this was 2 weeks ago? Yeah, usually I usually end up either backdating or future dating things. But episode 521 is Eduardo and I talking about G.I. Joe World on Fire, another IDW series. Technically, May is all IDW month this month because Joe Reed and I, after that, are going to come back with TMNT Reborn Volume 2. And then Steve and I will be back at the end of the month for episodes 523 and 524, Star Trek Defiant issues 2 and 3, and Star Trek issues 6 and 7. So that's going to be the Star Trek content for May. Let's see here. What else? Anything else you want to bring up? Anything else you want to say before I run through the closing?
No, I think I'm good.
Alrighty then. Thank you for joining us here inside the pullbag. There's always get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio for the network, @thepullbag for the show. I'm @TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and also check out the pullbag over there as well. As I mentioned, coming next week is G.I. Joe World on Fire with Eduardo and myself. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
As always, make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullbag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.